Political prosecution may be coming soon, as Donald Trump has threatened to weaponize the DOJ against anyone who attempts to assassinate him. What could this mean for the future of our democracy?
This is an attack against the media. Trump supporters are already alleging that we encouraged the brave hero who shot at him.
Even though we've repeatedly told the public there is no room for political violence against the Nazi who is a living embodiment of all of our trauma.
That's exactly right. It's another sick...
Semper Tyrannis.
...attempt at endangering our lives with harmful rhetoric. No one in the press is encouraging violence.
That's right, and we still have no idea why the assassination attempt occurred. In fact, our network released this statement earlier today. We are unable to confirm the shooter's motive, as there are too many reasons to kill the former president. The statement goes on to say, these range from saving democracy to the former president simply having a shootable face.
Exactly. The idea that we're encouraging this is simply a lie.
A baseless smear. For more information, we go live to our on-the-ground reporter who's within Trump's vicinity now.
Thank you, Mac. The former president seems to be incredibly agile. It's been characteristically difficult to pin him down.
Dang it!
Has there been any word from the intelligence community about this attack?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm here with CIA agent Charles Ramirez right now. Charles, what do we know about the failed assassination attempt?
Well, Bill, we've been aggressively investigating the assassination attempt, but we still haven't been able to confirm why it failed.
And what do the assassin's motives appear to be? Why did he do this?
Why does anyone do anything? It hardly seems an appropriate expenditure of tax money to ponder the inner workings of a man's heart.
Especially when Dostoevsky has already written about it so extensively.
Exactly!
Again! Whoever is trying to kill me must face severe penalties.
That was former President Donald Trump with an absolutely dangerous and irresponsible attack on our three-letter agencies.
Trump's condemnation of his attacker truly sets a dangerous precedent.
Absolutely tragic. And what's to be done about it? We go to our election expert for more answers now. Hello, Mac. Good evening, Roy. What must be done, and how do we say it without getting in trouble?
Well, Mac, the fact is, we need to save democracy, and we don't know how many more shots we're going to get. The key to winning is to get inside of Trump's head. Really open it up.
Ah, I see. We can't let the content of Trump's brains remain outside of our scope.
Correct. In fact, we may need to get into many people's heads to understand what the country is thinking. Sometimes when things are this bad, the only way to move forward is to assess a nation.
Yes. We desperately need to assess a nation right now. Our only hope is to assassination.
Yes. It's the only way we can put this tyrant aside.
Exactly. The only solution is tyrantocide.
This just in to all watching at home. A lemon ate Donald Trump.
Huh? Where is...
Eliminate Donald Trump. I have just gotten word from my lawyers that it is not illegal to say eliminate Donald Trump now.
Now.
Yes, some say that shouldn't be legal to say on TV. In fact, they hope the courts strike down that former precedent.
And I completely agree. Anyone watching who has the capacity, please strike down that former precedent.
Eliminate Donald Trump.
Assess a nation.
Listen to my words carefully. Strike down the former precedent.
The media are clearly trying to kill me.
He's endangering our lives!
Oh, I'm tired of having this dog.
God calls us to be...
All right, folks,
to
welcome to the American Journal. We'll be right back on the other side of this short break.
Oh,
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
It's Friday, September 20th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to The American Journal. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning, Harrison Smith. We'll be hosting the Sunday Night Live show this Sunday. I'm going to be out of town this weekend. So here today, swapping with him. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you, as always. And I know that many radio listeners are tuning in just now, but for the first 5 minutes of our broadcast today, we start right at the top of the hour. I showed you that Freedom Tunes clip. I try to show one every time one comes out because they're absolutely hilarious and on the money, on the mark in terms of what's really going on. Sometimes it seems like satire or comedy is the only way to actually get the truth when we are surrounded by so many lies. But this clip that I showed just pointed out how the media is constantly calling right-wing Americans, patriotic Americans, right-wing extremists or domestic terrorists or insurrectionists. And they're constantly saying that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, to our nation itself, to freedom itself, to minorities and migrants and all the most vulnerable people in the world. They have constantly used this rhetoric to encourage and catalyze some of the attempts that we've seen. Now, I know officially speaking, there have been two attempts. There was the July 13th attempt, and there was the Ryan Routh attempt this weekend. But it seems like last week there may have been actually a third attempt. It would have been the second in order. But details are surfacing now that 20 attendees at the Trump rally in Tucson all came down with a mysterious illness. They were all sitting in the same section, the section behind Donald Trump, where he entered and exited the stage. And several of them have suffered severe blindness. And some doctors are saying that it's a chemical burn, or seems like a chemical burn. I know Alex Jones is going to get into it more today at 11 a.m. Central Time. There's new details coming out that Mike Adams has revealed, suggesting that maybe it was lasers. And this is wild stuff. There's obviously a concerted effort to assassinate President Trump. It's not just rogue actors or fluke scenarios that we're witnessing right now. We are seeing a pandemic of assassination attempts. It is now a pattern. They are serial assassination attempts. And it makes sense. I mean, I want to show you this clip. This is clip number 25. It's a montage of Joy Reid, our favorite person in the whole entire world, using the rhetoric that I just discussed or described. What Freedom Tunes made fun of in the first 5 minutes of this broadcast today. This is exactly the kind of thing that we've heard relentlessly for really 8 years, but especially the last 4 years regarding patriotic Americans and President Trump. Let's go ahead and run it.
I would love to see what would happen if Ginny Thomas ran for president. Could she be kept off the ballot? Because she's for sure an insurrectionist. Husband of insurrectionist judging insurrection. Ginny Thomas, our insurrectionist wife of a Supreme Court justice, Ginny Thomas was materially involved in the insurrection. Must have been a relief for insurrectionist accomplice Ginny Thomas's husband, Justice Clarence Thomas.
When these people like Alito and Thomas support the insurrection, right? What are they really saying?
Ginny Thomas played a role in an insurrection.
Ginny Thomas's efforts in the January 6th insurrection.
He will be ruling on a case that could determine whether or not the events his wife participated in amounted to an insurrection against the United States of America.
Now, after all that rhetoric, we've seen these assassination attempts, but things really aren't going well for the Kamala Harris campaign, despite what the polls tell you, despite what mainstream media tells you, or the Krasenstein clones, or the Harry Sissons of the world. Despite what you see, things are very obviously not going well, and we see the clues in a million different ways every single day. And one of the things I want to point out is the Teamsters released a presidential poll. There was a poll conducted with the Teamsters, and over 60% of them support Trump, according to the last numbers that I saw. And they're failing to, or deciding not to, endorse either candidate this election season. Now, Teamsters, obviously a major famous union, one of the most notorious unions in the history of United States organized labor. Jimmy Hoffa, of course, was the leader of the Teamsters for some period of time. They can't even come to a consensus about whether to support Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. In fact, 6 out of 10 of them, 3 out of 5 of them are supporting a Republican. This is fairly unprecedented. And we see the panic in subtle ways. I want to show you this clip, which is number 14. This is a short clip. And I'm going to show you several clips throughout the show today of Kamala Harris's appearance on Oprah Winfrey's show. I don't even know what it's called anymore. Is it still called the Oprah Winfrey Show? And it's just unbelievable how disgusting Kamala Harris is, how incompetent she is, how just grotesque and pathetic that she is. And I'm not saying that she's so stupid that we should underestimate her. I think that she's incredibly savvy at working her way to the top. She is a working girl after all. But here we have just a brief example of Democratic panic. This is Oprah Winfrey in clip number 14.
On the way here, when I was coming through the airport, black man stopped me and he said, he knew I was coming here for something like this. And he goes, well, I'm just telling you, I'm voting for Trump.
Yeah. So somebody's told Oprah, a black guy told Oprah that he was voting for Trump and she just couldn't believe it. She had to share that story with the audience. It's just unbelievable. Why would any minority want to vote for Trump? Well, maybe it's because inflation is terrible and inflation disproportionately impacts the most vulnerable among us, minority communities, those who are in the lowest socioeconomic classes of our nation and communities. And when you're feeling pain incessantly for 3 or 4 years, you're going to vote for the other person. You're going to remember how good things were 4 years ago and make that decision. And the Democrats just can't seem to wrap their minds around the fact that working class people are better off supporting Donald Trump than rhinos or neocons or the Democratic establishment. It is now officially a uniparty. We're going to get more into that with this breaking news about the speaker failing to protect our election integrity. But I want to show you clip number one. This is a CNN reporter owned by a Trump supporter who also happens to own a boat. Watch this, clip number one.
What's your most important issue?
The economy, getting the interest rates down, getting it to where we can afford to live in America. Right now, it's too expensive.
Okay, now let me maybe ask like a slightly impolite question. But, you know, if you can afford a boat, you're not hurting so bad, right? Because a boat costs a lot of money and it's a lot of upkeep.
Listen, nobody gave me shit. I earned everything that I've got. I'm retired military, retired power plant, and I am successful and retired and with boats, jet skis, because I did it right. And everybody has that chance. Whether they choose or not, that's up to them.
I would never try to take anything away from you in that way. But what I'm asking is, groceries are probably a smaller part of your budget than, say, you know, someone who's like a little worse off. I think it's interesting that people who are a little bit more comfortable are still so concerned about the economy. Do you see what I'm saying?
Because I want my money to go further. I want inflation to go down. I want interest rates to go back down. I want all that. But that covers everybody in the economy. Not just me, not just the poor, not just the rich. It covers everybody.
Now, something I've heard from some people, tell me if this applies to you, is like they're worried their kids aren't able to afford a house or a car.
Well, I train my kids and taught my kids properly. They have great educations. And they're both successful in their careers. Actually, they're doing better than me.
You know, he's right about teaching responsibility and believing in the American dream and working hard and saving and making responsible decisions. All those things are great and they work. The problem is it's increasingly difficult, no matter how responsible or competent or professional anyone is in America, to make ends meet or to do things like buy a house because of the policies of the left and the neocons too. both parties forever have increased the deficit of the United States of America, printed money in record numbers. Every administration seems to do worse than the one prior to it because it's snowballing into an abyss. And when you do that, it becomes impossible for working class people, regardless of their character and intentions or skills, to make ends meet. I mean, I remember one time when I was in high school, I was in an art class and a teacher was talking about how there were more people in India with a genius IQ than there were people in the United States. And she was acting like that was some major threat, like the United States is waning because India has more people that are geniuses than there are people altogether in the United States. But how far do you think your IQ takes you in a place like India where there isn't really plumbing? Or there isn't really infrastructure. Of course, they've come a long way, even in the last 15 years since my teacher made those remarks. But how good does a genius IQ do you if you're in a gulag, or if you're in communist China, or if you're in North Korea? How good can you do in an environment that is unjust and unfair and just boot down, hammering down on you? What we are experiencing here in the United States is a fast velocity toward a civilization that regardless of what you do to reach self-actualization, it may become impossible because of all the regulations and corruption and injustice and policies, whether it's DEI, ESG, rapid inflation, rapid censorship, rapid regulation. I mean, just look what they're doing to Elon Musk. The dude's got the record, I think, for the number of satellites in orbit. It's absolutely amazing what he's accomplished, and he's constantly being harassed. There's a story on the desk today about Elon Musk saying that SpaceX will sue the FAA for regulatory overreach. This is somebody who's obviously got a very high IQ. He's still running into trouble here, and it's not because he's not smart enough. It's because the system isn't playing fair. The federal agency announced proposed fines of $633,000 against SpaceX on Tuesday. SpaceX Polaris Dawn conducts first private spacewalk with billionaire Jared Isaacman. But it will be filing a suit against the FAA for regulatory overreach, Musk said in a post on X. Tech billionaire's comments came after the FAA proposed fines of over $600,000 against SpaceX on Tuesday, alleging Musk's company did not follow its license requirements related to a pair of launches last summer. So I guess Elon Musk has to follow every detail of so-called license requirements for his rockets. But if you're a Haitian in Springfield, Ohio, you can just get a car, no license, no problem. It's not going to be an issue. You can drive around. You're not going to be pulled over. You can eat your neighbor's cat. You can kill the duck at the park that's being fed by the elderly person who's lived there for 50 years. No big deal. No problem whatsoever. And speaking of Haiti, I find it incredibly alarming that over the course of the last 10 to 20 years, we have heard story after story, scandal after scandal about the Clinton Foundation's involvement in Haiti. And despite all of the humanitarian crises that are happening all over the world, whether it's in Ukraine, whether it's in Gaza Strip, whether it's anywhere else in the world, any African nation, any struggling third world country, of all the places where we could be giving aid, taking refugees, why is it that so many of them are coming specifically from Haiti? Do you think maybe it has something to do with the fact that the Clintons have abundant infrastructure there? And by the way, last year, they fired up the Clinton Foundation again after all of its scandals last election cycle in an effort to rebuild Ukraine. So now we live in a civilization where our politicians are personally pocketing cash from these conflicts that result in the death of millions of innocent people and rapid inflation to the point where your money can't buy anything. You have to practically bring a wheelbarrow full of cash into a grocery store to get a loaf of bread. And everything is collapsing in on itself. So how is it we're supposed to reach self-actualization? How is it we're supposed to have success if we don't have a populist come into power? Trump the other day came out and announced that he would impose a temporary cap on credit card interest until the people of America can get caught up on their debt. A cap of 10% interest rates on all credit cards until the American people are in a healthy financial situation again. And I know that a lot of libertarians came out, a lot of free market capitalists came out. I'm somebody who's a free market capitalist. I'm a laissez-faire capitalist. I read Wealth of Nations. I read Ayn Rand. I read Milton Friedman. I read Ron Paul. And I agreed with 99% of everything that I heard. And they're coming out and they're criticizing Trump for putting caps on interest rates. That's interfering with the free market. But let me tell you something, folks. There is no such thing as a free market based off of a fiat currency. When the entire system is built off of a lie, there's nothing you can do to make it a free market until you fix the foundational problem. You can put Band-Aids on it. You can tweak it. You can adjust it. You can mess with interest rates. You can create different policies, different incentives, whatever. You can mess around and change the variables. The fact of the matter is the trajectory is the same when the foundation principle of a currency is a total lie. So ultimately what we have to do is correct the problem that is the fact that our dollar is backed by nothing. After all, it has resulted in all the conflicts that we've been in over the course of 50, 60, or 70 years. But after you've seen the Teamsters are now switching over, they haven't done a formal endorsement, but if 60% of them are voting for Trump, as far as I'm concerned, that is an endorsement by the Teamsters for Trump. So you've got unions endorsing Trump. You've got anecdotal stories of Oprah being approached by minorities who are saying they're going to vote for Trump. We've seen video after video. We've seen poll after poll of communities traditionally associated with the Democrats aligning with Trump because he's a populist. He's not even really a Republican. He is a Republican in name only in the right way, in the best ways. He's a populist. He's going to tear down both the Republican establishment and the Democratic establishment because they have both failed us and conspired together to form a uniparty. So who is it then that is endorsing Kamala Harris? Who is it then who is actually supporting Kamala Harris? We're going to run clip number 9 here. This is Rachel Maddow and Stephen Colbert answering that very question. Go ahead.
Rachel Maddow. One thing that we've seen this year, again, that is also unprecedented as far as I know, is the enormous support publicly that Harris has gotten from Republicans.
Yeah.
In previous administrations.
Yeah.
That's heartening.
It's unusual, too. I mean, to have...
And that's a sign of desperation, actually. Because we are a partisan country.
Yeah.
And people do pick their own teams, and people tend not to leave their teams, but people are endorsing her in droves who used to be members of previous Republican cabinets.
And
it has to be, like, no other choice but to do this.
Well, we've got lots of Republicans for Harris. That's a thing, Republicans for Harris. You've got lots of, like, retired flag officers from the military, so senior officers in the military endorsing the Democratic candidate, endorsing Harris. There was a group of Reagan administration officials who just a few days ago endorsed
She's listing
Harris.
Deep state
So you definitely have the staff of Scientific American.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
The
That's
time
Soros
the
funded,
Scientific
by the
American
way.
Just made a presidential endorsement and they endorsed Harris. So you're seeing sort of not your typical endorsements. You're seeing what I think is a very, very broad Harris coalition. I mean, a coalition that includes like Dick Cheney and AOC is a big coalition. Like, most Americans
You're
see
excited
themselves
that Dick
somewhere
Cheney
between AOC and Dick Cheney.
Is endorsing
right.
Kamala
and if
Harris.
Between AOC
That's
and Dick
a good
Cheney
thing.
On the number line, you're in the Harris coalition.
Oh, wow. We have such a big tent. Hitler and Stalin love Kamala Harris. We've got the fascist and the Maoist. They both love her. Everyone is welcome. The communist, the fascist, the Satanist, every demonic person can endorse Kamala Harris. All of those people that she listed, all of those groups that she listed are supervillain groups. She's listing neocons, deep state, and Ronald Reagan was a good guy. And he tried to be a good president. I think he was. But he was surrounded by deep state. Just look at who his VP was. Look at the unnecessary escalation of the Cold War, which was obviously now, in retrospect, just a money grab for the military-industrial complex. And she announces with such hubris that Scientific American, a magazine with over 3.5 million subscribers, endorsed Kamala Harris. And of course, the implication is when you hear that, oh, scientists support Kamala Harris, it must be because Trump is a climate change denier. So of course, the scientists and Scientific American would endorse Kamala Harris. But when you follow the money of Scientific American, it goes up to a little company, I think called, what is it, BC Partners? I have a tweet about this from a couple of days ago, if you guys could find it. Based in London. And I'm going to pull up these details right now on my phone because I want to get this right. I'm just going to read this to you. BC Partners. It goes all the way up to Soros directly. Basically, I can't find it. I'm not going to waste your time. There it is. Why did Scientific American endorse Kamala Harris? Well, here's the key question. Why would Scientific American, a longstanding science magazine owned by Springer Nature, which is in turn controlled by private equity firm BC Partners, support Harris, a candidate likely to escalate conflicts? The answer lies in another major asset owned by BC Partners, Intelsat. Since the start of the Ukraine conflict, Intelsat has been securing millions of dollars in federal defense contracts, and this isn't just a one-time deal. They had $34.4 million in 21, in 22, $21.8, 23, $38.4 million, in 2024, so far, $36.3 million. So when you have a Soros-backed private equity firm in London that interests are aligned with escalating the war in Ukraine because its satellite contracts are going through the roof now with our federal government, and they simultaneously own Scientific American as one of their assets, well, then what do? They push Scientific American to endorse Kamala Harris because they know that Kamala Harris is going to bring on World War III. And if World War III happens, Intelsat's going to make a hell of a lot of money. And I just couldn't believe it. It was like a joke when I was doing the research into that story and looking into it, when I found that Soros was connected. Like one of the former highest consultants for Soros' fund is now running BC Partners. And so you have Rachel Maddow going up and just bragging about how the scientists love Kamala Harris, but it's not really the scientists, is it? It's a political establishment, a political elite, a political class. And that's why everyone is going full populist, because all populism is the understanding that it's not about the right versus the left. It's about the people versus the political class. It's about the people versus Scientific American. It's about the people versus the Hollywood brainwash machine. It's about the people versus the deep state, versus the old guard Republican establishment, which catalyzed conflict after conflict and spent billions upon billions of dollars killing innocent people in unnecessary wars. But here's another example of who's supporting Kamala Harris. This is clip number four. Outstanding ad from White Dudes for Harris. Let's run this and unpack it.
Hey. White dudes, so I think we're all pretty sick of hearing how much we suck. Every time you go online, it's the same story. We're the problem. And yeah, some white dudes are. Trump and all his MAGA buddies are out there making it worse, shouting nonsense,
you know, a white guy that talks like that,
and acting like they speak for us when they don't. All they've ever done is screw us over. But if you're not on the MAGA train, where do you go?
We out here in these streets.
Isn't just swapping out one crappy option for another? Then it hit me. This isn't about picking teams. It's about who's got a plan that's going to make life better for me and my family. So I've been doing my own research and decided to check out Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And before you jump down my throat, they're actually talking to guys like us. No lectures, no BS. Just real solutions that protect our freedoms and help us take care of the people who matter. And honestly, I think Harris and Walz are the ones to make that happen. End of the day, you're your own man. It's your call. But if anyone gives you crap about it, tell them it's none of their damn business.
Actually, it is. It is our business, my business. Can you imagine if we started a group, White Dudes for Trump? We'd immediately be called white nationalists, wouldn't we? I guess we'd be white populists. But it's just this division, this race baiting. Crew made a great point during that, too. He said, do your own research. After months and months of saying, if you do your own research, it's part of the misinformation problem. Unbelievable. More on the other side, folks.
I got a great way for you to keep InfoWars on the air, and regardless what happens, InfoWars keep me on the air, and that's the alexjonesstore.com, a new key URL for you to mark down. I've teamed up with the folks that make a lot of the top-selling Trump shirts in the country. They've got the best t-shirt designers, Bigly. If you go to thealexjonesstore.com, that's separate from InfoWars, so that's key to support into the future, whatever happens here. 30-plus amazing new t-shirt designs, new ones being added every day. They're incredible. Trump shirts, you name it, thealexjonesstore.com. And every time you buy a shirt or 30-plus different great designs of Patriot ball caps, you get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day. It's different every day, into the raffle to get $10,000 cash. Halloween's when the prize is announced. the winner, and a $138,000 turbo diesel super deluxe off-road upgraded, the best truck you can get, over the top turbo diesel engine, AEV standard features, and then it's all upgraded. I tried to go over, take an hour, the best tires, the best shocks, the best systems. It's a 2024 Ram Prospector AEV Dodge turbo diesel, army green, black with red pinstripe, ready for you. When you buy something, you've entered 5 or 10 times, depending on what promo they're running that day, in the raffle. All at thealexjonesstore.com. But the t-shirts, the reason to go there, keep us on air, and these are badass shirts. They've got over 30 incredible t-shirt designs. I think there's more now. They're adding more every day at thealexjonesstore.com. They're designer. They're high quality. They're all there. Some of the Infowars classics, they updated, made even better. A lot of new, incredible designs. A lot of Alex Jones shirts. A lot of Trump shirts. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. We need your aid. We need your support. Plus, these are great shirts. You'll meet like-minded people. It spreads the word. It's so exciting to wear these out in public. Most people will agree with you and love you. You'll meet so many friends. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. We need your support. No excuses. Take action. Thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. Enter to win right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bodies is back in stock, and frankly, it's a miracle. It is a miracle that Bodies is back in stock because we didn't know whether or not we were ever going to be able to even order inventory again after some of the more recent court hearings. Now, InfoWars is still thriving, still alive, but in a very vulnerable position, a very precarious legal position right now. So we need you to support us as soon as possible by going to InfoWarsStore.com and purchasing any of our products, but especially Bodies, which is one of our flagship, most popular products, for good reason, too, because this formula is amazing for anti-inflammatory support, flexibility support, joint support. I have specifically used Bodies to help with arthritis that I have in my right ankle, arthritis that I have in my left hand. This is an amazing anti-inflammatory supplement that is great for your joint health. And frankly, if Joe Biden was taking Bodies, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be walking around like a 2x4. I think he'd be walking around like a gymnast at this point. But obviously he's not taking it because he can barely go up the stairs. And if you're feeling a little stiff or a little disjointed, for lack of a better term, then please consider getting Bodies whole body support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Not only are you investing in your own health, your own anti-inflation, your own joint health, your own joint support, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air at this particularly precarious time in InfoWars history. Now, we know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that humanity itself is under attack, but we are going to stay on the air for as long as possible, and it's only possible because of your support at InfoWarsStore.com. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, invest in your own anti-inflammatory support, your own joint support, your own bodily health, while simultaneously keeping InfoWars on the air in this fight for humanity against the globalist New World Order leftist trash that we're faced with every single day. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Bodies today.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geiser, your host this morning. Harrison Smith will be hosting Sunday Night Live on Sunday at 6 p.m. Central, and he will be in the studio next week as well. And I got carried away last segment talking about the deep state, talking about the political class, and the joke that is the position Rachel Maddow took in that conversation with Stephen Colbert, citing Scientific American, which is Soros-backed war hawk military-industrial complex escalate conflict central. And if you don't believe me yet, if you're not convinced yet that Kamala Harris is the military-industrial complex, and further, the political-industrial complex, which extends beyond military conflicts, disaster relief, NGOs, migrant crises, things like that, and they love that. Well, then let's just consider what Hillary Clinton is doing now. What Hillary Clinton is talking about now, what Hillary Clinton is advocating now. She suddenly started appearing so frequently before Joe Biden collapsed into total irrelevance.
even beyond what he was before after this June 27th debate where he was just murdered and didn't even know he was alive to begin with. We saw her poking around, kind of feeling out to see if she could get this candidacy, and it didn't work out for her this time. She must be very disappointed. However, she seems to have found a way to weasel herself in, and I imagine that conversations were had before Kamala Harris was officially announced as the candidate between the likes of the Michelle Obamas and the Hillary Clintons and the Gavin Newsoms and others about what roles they would get in her administration if they gave her the endorsement and didn't allow it to be contested. There were certain vulnerabilities. Certainly RFK Jr. was a major vulnerability if there had been an open convention. I don't think things would have gone so well for Kamala Harris. But now we have Kamala Harris in clip number 27 here admitting that she is, we have Hillary Clinton admitting that she is advising the Kamala Harris campaign. Let's watch.
So what is your assessment of the stakes of this election? I mean, you are in a very exclusive club of people who've ever run for president, let alone run against Donald Trump. So to what extent do you offer counsel or do you speak with Kamala Harris about how to run against Donald Trump, who, as you've said, is a different candidate now, a darker candidate, arguably, than he was in 2016?
That's absolutely true, Willie. You know, I've talked with Kamala a few times. I obviously talked with her before the debate because he is more incoherent. He is angrier. He is lashing out all the time at everybody. He's filled with grievance and rage. And,
like,
you know, in my acceptance speech at the convention way back in 2016, I said, you know, you can't trust somebody with nuclear weapons who you can bait with a tweet, because I saw that in him at the time. A lot of people didn't, or they gave him the benefit of the doubt, or they thought, hey, you know, we've had two terms of a Democrat. Let's try the Republicans for whatever reason. I understand that. But now the stakes are even higher because he has a record. We have seen him try to abuse power. We have seen him try to overturn a fair election.
The abuse of power. Look what they've done.
COVID and cause unnecessary deaths and pain. So he has a record. And in addition to that, he's told us what he's going to do. He is absolutely linked to this Project 2025 and all of their dark and dystopian efforts to turn the clock back on Americans' rights and the way we live and how we, you know, look at our futures together. And he's has a long rhetorical record now of making it very clear that he would be unaccountable if he were ever near the White House again.
Didn't Barack Obama say after the election, we can talk, I can do more? Basically implying the same notion that the accountability goes away after the election. Every president in their second term has less accountability than their first term. That's just a fact of the matter. And this is somebody saying that we can't trust him with the nuclear codes when this administration gave the nuclear codes to a man with dementia and the world almost exploded countless times. We're closer now than ever to World War III. With Putin, the Kremlin, leaders in Russia admitting, saying that if this escalates with NATO using long-range missiles and assisting Ukraine striking targets within Russia, that nuclear weapons are the next step, are the result of this. There's no way that Russia goes to war with NATO and the United States without it devolving into a nuclear conflict, which is the annihilation of somebody. Maybe that's what they want to do it for. Maybe they want to start World War III so they can strategically decide which 5 out of 6 people they can blow up and radiate. But the fact of the matter is the reason that she's pushing for Kamala Harris is because she's going to have a seat at the table if Kamala Harris becomes the president of the United States. We're going to run clip number 2 here in a second. We understand that Hillary Clinton has fired the Clinton Foundation back up. We understand that they're making money off of Asian migrants, and they're making money off of this conflict in Ukraine and countless other things which have yet to be revealed, which I'm sure the likes of Ian Carroll and others will reveal over the years as they come to light the extent of the corruption of the Clinton administration. I mean, everybody's talking about P. Diddy right now and all these scandals associated with him. Bill Clinton's walking around free and he was on Epstein's Island how many dozens of times? been accused of rape credibly how many times? There's something really wrong about this. There's something way off about this imbalance. Not only are they guilty of everything they accuse Trump and us of, but then they have the audacity to try to convince you that they love you, that they care about you, that they represent you, that they have your interests in mind when they sell out our country every chance they get if it means they can line their own pockets without being held accountable, which is all too often, frankly, almost always. This is clip number two, Hillary admitting that she would love to be in the Harris administration here.
Is there any side of you, if there is a Harris-Walz administration, that you would want to play a part in it, whether officially or unofficially?
Well, certainly unofficially, I want to be as helpful as I can and would do anything I was asked to be helpful. We have so much to do that it really should be all hands on deck. And anybody who can help in any capacity should be willing to do so because, you know, I am such an optimist about our country, despite how difficult the times are. I am, as my late friend Madeleine Albright used to say, an optimist who worries a lot, but I am fundamentally optimistic. I'm very optimistic about a Harris-Walz administration because I think it not only has the capacity to deal with all the problems we know, but maybe to lower the temperature in the country. You know, Tim Walz, the coach of America, and Kamala, with her, you know, real sense of patriotism and commitment to the country and wanting to bring it together, be the president of all Americans, not half the country.
That's what Joe said.
Maybe we can break the fever. And, you know, let's get back to taking some deep breaths and finding ways to work together. There's so much we could do if we would start listening to each other and talking and making principled compromises. So
didn't she just say like 2 days ago that people who spread so-called misinformation should be in prison or held accountable? Didn't she say in speeches years ago that the basket of deplorables, the likes of these people, really just need to be sent to re-education camps? We need to send these people to camps run by people like you, talking to her audience. The person responsible for Benghazi and for Gaddafi, we saw he died. Famous line. The person saying she wants to send you to camps, the person saying that she wants to imprison you for your freedom of speech, is saying Kamala Harris wants to bring everybody together and lower the temperature. That's not lowering the temperature whatsoever. And we know that Kamala Harris is abundantly incompetent, very foolish, incapable of responding to questions spontaneously without sounding like a bumbling idiot. She has to memorize or have an earpiece in or use a teleprompter. But you can tell how desperate she is in this clip number 10, where with Oprah just the other day, she talks about, doubles down on her gun ownership and even says that she would shoot an intruder who broke into her house, something a leftist really never says. And it's because she knows that her base is not enough to win this election. So she is just scratching to get support from right-leaning independents or independents who like their gun rights. But you're never going to get the Second Amendment vote away from Trump, Kamala. This is the desperation you're watching. Clip 10.
That Doug has said it so eloquently, which is we just need to apply common sense. And look, I think for far too long on the issue of gun violence, some people have been pushing a really false choice to suggest you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. I'm in favor of the Second Amendment, and I'm in favor of assault weapons bans, universal background checks, red flag laws. And these are just common sense. These are just common sense.
I thought it was so powerful at the convention when you said you have guns. No, at the debate.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that.
But
my staff will deal with that.
So George Floyd broke into your house, would you shoot him?
But you have been a gun owner for a while.
Yes, I have.
Yes.
But here's my point, Oprah, is that I'm not trying to take everyone's guns away. I believe in the Second Amendment.
Just Republicans.
But we have to agree that, look, I did last fall a college tour with college-age young people, so I also did trade schools, and packed audience every time in their auditorium, and I would ask, please raise your hand if at any point between kindergarten and 12th grade you had to endure an active shooter drill. Almost every hand went up. It was bone-chilling.
Yeah, this is the way
it's
our kids are living.
Chilling.
Yeah,
and think about it. You know,
we're
going
to have nuclear drills in our schools again if she's president.
Only, well, I grew up in California. We also had earthquake drills. But the fact that our children are sitting in a classroom where they should be fulfilling their God-given potential and exploring the wonders of the world, and some part of their brain realizes somebody could bust through that classroom door with a weapon, with an assault weapon. And let's all agree that the trauma, so many children, even those who have not directly experienced the tragedy.
Just being in the environment.
I cannot tell you the number of young people who, I mean, our kids had active shooter drills.
Then stop the drills. Obviously, they don't work.
Kill them while they are at school. This is not the sign of a civil society, and it doesn't have to be this way.
It does not have to be this way.
So, again, she offers no solution. And let's just look at this reasonably here. Imagine if magically somehow she could eradicate all AR-15s in the United States of America, all what so-called assault rifles, weapons of war, like Tim Walz carried in war, but he didn't. Let's just say hypothetically, there's some Kamala fairy that can just make all the big guns disappear, so you only have your little itty bitty one. I remember when I lived in California, magazine capacity limit of 10 rounds when I lived there, so I had to throw away all my illegal magazines from Tennessee, and I had to get new ones that were California compliant when I moved there. You can still kill a bunch of people with 10-round magazines, especially if they're little kids in a school. All you do is put another magazine in when you're done with the one you're shooting. This is like how many people...
Handguns are easier to conceal.
And handguns are easier to conceal. Exactly. The only real threat of a long gun is the range is so much better. It's so much different, right? So I guess, you know, if you're trying to eradicate or minimize assassination attempts on President Trump, maybe, you know, we can have a conversation about rifles and weapons of war. But I tell you what. If I was going to be in a situation where I was going to be in a firefight inside a building, close quarters, long gun wouldn't be what I would choose in most cases. Now, I'm no expert, but the point is, it's ridiculous to believe that they believe it's okay to kill 10 people with a 10-round magazine, but not 30 people with a 30-round magazine. Both of those things are equally tragic. It's still a mass shooting. So what they're doing is they're just trying to erode the right until it's back down to nothing and only the police, only the military have weapons at all. That's what it's about. And there's so many other things that correlate with these mass shootings than simply gun ownership. SSRIs, mental illness, so many other systemic problems that correlate with this that we could solve first before we debate and threaten our God-given right as written in the Bill of Rights of our Constitution. And she acts like she understands what it means to be American, what makes America so great, what our values are in clip number 15. But she has absolutely no idea. Let's run 15.
We love our country. I love our country. I know we all do. That's why everybody's here right now. We love our country. We take pride in the privilege of being American. And this is a moment where we can and must come together as Americans, understanding we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let's come together with the character that we are so proud of about who we are, which is we are an optimistic people. We are an optimistic people. Americans, by character, are people
who have dreams. It's the same talking points that Hillary Clinton used.
and
I'm optimistic. I worry, but I'm optimistic,
and aspirations.
Remember?
Aspirations. We believe in what is possible. We believe in what can be.
Oh, she's going to do
and
it. Oh, she caught herself.
We believe in fighting for that. That's how we came into being. Because the people before us understood that one of the greatest expressions for the love of our country, one of the greatest expressions of patriotism, is to fight for the ideals of who we are, which includes freedom to make decisions about your own body, freedom to be safe from gun violence, freedom to have access to the ballot box, freedom to be who you are and just be, to love who you love openly and with pride, freedom to just be. And that's who we are. We believe in all that. And so this is a moment where we stand knowing what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against. It's what we're fighting for.
Thank you. She just said absolutely nothing. Unbelievable.
We're all in awe of what just transpired on tape.
It's shocking. It's like that scene from Billy Madison, that Adam Sandler movie from the 90s, where he answers the question in the end and the moderator says, not only was that, did that answer make no sense, but we are all now a little dumber because you said that. I don't understand. I don't understand why anybody supports this. I think it's just Trump derangement syndrome. I think people are terrified to admit that the reason everything is terrible is because their worldview is wrong, and they can't face the fact psychologically that everything they thought to be true is not true. Socialism doesn't work. DEI doesn't work. The reason you're not successful might actually have to do with your attitude or your priorities or your values. Of course, there's systemic issues. There's economic issues. But really, we talk about how this conflict right now is between good and evil, and it is fundamentally between good and evil. But you can also quantify it and divide it another way, and it's a divide between those who are willing to face reality and those who are in denial, who don't have the character, the courage to face it. And I guess maybe the answer is they just need better role models. Let's watch clip number 11 here of Kamala Harris in another brilliant and enlightening segment talking about the importance of role models.
You know, I was the first person to be a woman attorney general of California. I was the first woman to be elected district attorney of San Francisco. I was the first person of color to be elected attorney general of California. Whatever, first. Welcome to the Role Model Club. It's tough. Being a part of the Role Model Club means being in a room where sometimes you may be the only person who has had the experiences you've had.
Everybody's the only person who's had the experiences they've had. Oh, it's so frustrating to me. I mean, at least Barack Obama was a competent villain. Bill Clinton, a competent villain. We had a 20th century of incredibly talented villains. Now they suck. This is like listening to a new Elton John record. What happened? You wrote Tiny Dancer. How come you can't do it anymore? What happened? You had it. I'm at a loss of words. I'm at a loss of words. And this is the type of thing that they're promoting, pushing, and supporting. Clip number 12 here. Watch this doctor apologize for pedophilia. She's a pedophilia apologist, so to speak. Clip number 12 here. This is what the left wants.
It's short for virtuous pedophiles. Not virtuous as in they're better than everyone because they're attracted to children, but virtuous like having moral standards and a sexual orientation that they have no control over, like the rest of us. Before you get all worked up, I'm talking about pedophilia. Not child molestation or rape. Pedophilia is the sexual attraction to children.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to do it as long as you don't do it. What percentage of minor attracted persons actually commit an act of
molestation?
I guarantee it's over 90%.
These are abusive actions that often have nothing to do with attraction. Many child abusers are actually sexually attracted to adults, but they act out on children.
Meaning, I'm not a pedophile.
Her eyes.
Because
she's
nuts.
The eyes are the lamps of the soul. She looks like Tim Walz's wife.
They violate people. I personally try not to judge either.
I just can't believe it. This is what the left is pushing, and everybody's acting like it's okay, like it's normal.
Yeah, that's not okay.
It's not okay. She's a doctor. That's PhD stuff right there. That's a person who had to write a dissertation and argue for it in front of a panel of other esteemed academics. And then they had to give her the green light. Yes, you have earned the degree of PhD. You have earned the status of PhD. You are so brilliant. We need to look up, maybe after the show, what her dissertation was on. Because this is absolutely disgusting. You want to talk about studying pedophilia, understanding pedophilia. Let me tell you what the solution to pedophilia is. I'll tell you right now what the solution is. It's very simple. Anytime anyone is convicted of abusing a child, you have a public raffle, a lottery, where anybody in the world can pay $5. And every time they pay $5, their name gets put into a hat. Family and friends of the victim get first dibs for free. Then, after 7 days, you pull out 12 names from a hat, and those people get to be on the firing squad. That is how you solve pedophilia. Not by writing a paper about understanding or a dissertation about understanding how it's really a sexual orientation and we have to understand it in order to treat it and help these people through our consulting and counseling. Yeah, because counseling works so great. How many people you know went to marriage counseling, stayed married? How many people you know saw a therapist, felt better later? How many people you know are mass shooters, didn't see a therapist? Oh, they all saw one. Their method, their school of thought, their science of psychology is brand new. It's like 100 years old. They don't know what they're doing yet. They're experimenting with the most complicated organ in the mind by just dumping chemicals on it and recording results with staffers like that and interns like that. And you're going to empower these people to, hold on, let's look into this pedophilia thing. Maybe we should be nice to these people and empower them.
Yeah, no, you should accept them for being pedophiles. Yeah, no. They're people. They're people, right?
No. Yes, it's just, here's the thing. If you're going to accept people for being pedophiles because you think it's a mental illness that they were born with.
We can accept them from many states away where they're contained in a facility in the middle of the desert. And we can appreciate them.
If you're going to make the argument that we should accept these people because they have a mental illness, then you have to make the argument that we should accept Jeffrey Dahmer because he had a mental illness of sociopathy, or Ted Bundy. These people were clinically sick. Ted Bundy, born without a conscience, prefrontal cortex all screwed up. He was born that way. It's not his fault. I know he slaughtered all those women in a Volkswagen Bug with a fake cast and a bike. But he was charming. And if it wasn't for the fact that he was a sociopath, he would have been a good person. The whole point is being evil is sociopathy. It's the same thing. Being a pedophile is being evil. It doesn't matter if it's clinical or not. It needs to be eradicated. Folks, we're coming up on a break. We have a great guest coming up on the other side as well. It's going to be Edward Saul. Ed Saul is the host of The Agenda on X and a producer of Died Suddenly. He's with us today to talk about one of Kamala's biggest scandals that no one is talking about. Please stay tuned and open up another tab. Visit thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Enter to win for free an amazing $138,000 truck plus $10,000 in cash, or just get any of the shirts and get entered 1, 5, or 10 times.
Today's conspiracy theories, tomorrow's truths.
Some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
The Trump-Russia witch hunt, Jeffrey Epstein, JFK assassination, the misuse of the Patriot Act, the Iraq war, the weapons of mass destruction, the war in Ukraine, the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, the open border migration caravans, the climate change scam, chemtrails, and HARP, and 9/11 being an inside job, and the Internet of Things surveillance grid, and PFAs, and chemicals in the water turning everyone gay, and the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th being filled with undercover feds, and Bilderberg, and Bohemian Grove, and global government, not to mention gain-of-function research, and the threat of China, and collapsing birth rates, and defund the police, and George Soros, and mail-in ballots, and big tech censorship, and disinformation agencies, and Obama's birth certificate, and probably some others I can't think of. I mean, so a few of them. I guess a couple of them have been true.
You will meet so many amazing people wearing the shirt. I'd say you'll get probably 50 compliments before you get one person screaming at you.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
But it's an adventure to wear any of these shirts, but particularly this one. Get this design and so many others. They're limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on air in our fight against the globalist. And I want to thank you so much for your support, because literally, When you call in thanking me on air, I say stop, because I'm thanking you. I love fighting the globalists. This is what I do. We've had such a huge effect together. So I want to thank you all for your past support. I encourage you now to go to thealexjonesstore.com and be sure to enter for the free truck and $10,000 and buy more product, support the broadcast, and get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day, each time you buy a product. This new initiative is so important to the future. So everybody, if you support what we're doing and want to get great shirts and ball caps at the same time, go to thealexjonesstore.com. And almost forgot, most of these shirts come in multiple colors.